Well, thank you very much for coming to see me today. This is a good opportunity for me to explain. The National Audit Chamber is established by the Constitution and by an organic law to have an oversight on all government finances in this country. At the national government level, at the state level, at the local government level, at the urban councils level. Those institutions are supposed to follow certain regulations, financial management regulations, and they prepare financial statements which we look at, and then we report as to whether those statements show a true and fair view. And that is where our responsibility is. Tell the people of South Sudan through their parliament and their president whether what government officials are doing in terms of financial management is correct or not so correct, and there are mistakes or there are no mistakes, and so on. We express an opinion on those things.
Great. Now, can you tell us on what percentage of government institutions or accounts are being audited per year?
That is a very technical question. We are supposed to audit all government institutions and all government accounts in an ideal situation. But we cannot do that because of our capacity to do things. We do not have the finances, and we do not have the human resources capable of achieving all that. And so we resort to sampling. We do the things that we can do, and we see if we can express an opinion on the overall picture based on the sections that we have done.
Can we say you're doing on the most important institution or sections?
All institutions are important. We cannot restrict ourselves to the institutions that spend the largest amount of money. There are some institutions that spend a little money, but they are very sensitive because they affect the citizen. Institutions like education and health and water and electricity have a lot of social materiality. So I put those ones first because they affect people. And responses of the management of those institutions also affects our attitude.
Tell us, how many reports have your office produced over the last, let's say, 3 years, and what have been the major findings in most of these reports?
I came to this office in 2010. Although this office was established in 2005, I found that all the reports that should have been issued were never issued. I mean, there were no reports. So I had to deal with a backlog from 2005. We did 2005, 2006, 2007, 2008. But Parliament was not able to clear 2007, 2008 as we speak today. So 2009, 2010 are sitting here in my office, still not delivered to Parliament because of that backlog. So the backlog has, which was here, we have transferred it to Parliament. It is not Parliament which is having a backlog, not us.
So tell us about the latest now. You have just presented the report for 2011, 2012 about the Central Bank of South Sudan. You sounded so disappointed in this report. There seem to be a lot of irregularities. Tell us about this latest report.
Well, this was our first report on the Bank of South Sudan since it was created after independence. And the essence of this report is that the Bank of South Sudan had a problem at its very beginning because previously it was a branch of the Bank of Sudan. They did not prepare themselves for the independence. And so they were cut off from inception without a contingency plan. And a lot of time, therefore, was used to create a system. So they began operating without a system. That is a very, very, very worrying and risky affair indeed. Starting without balances, starting without a financial management system, without an electronic management system, and people had to resort to using ordinary white paper. I am saying that this was a very risky event. Risk in a sense that there is no way audit could evaluate the risk of loss and the possibilities, all the possibilities that an auditor would like to look at. So that was a very, very major risk. And as a result, up to the end of the financial year 2012, we were not able to balance the accounts of the bank. The bank were not able to give us balanced accounts. And this is why you said I sounded very worried. I still am very worried. We have material balances in foreign banks which we cannot confirm, and we have material balances in our own accounts from our customers which cannot be confirmed. And that presents us a very serious challenge indeed.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you say there was no system in place. That's why there's been a lot of irregularities and people just use letters sometimes. Mm. In your report, there's been millions, if not billions, of amount of money, South Sudanese pounds or US dollars, that have been borrowed and cannot be traced. I mean, where has this money gone to?
I don't know where it's gone to. I don't know whether you are right to begin with. But what we are saying is that we cannot balance our books. The bank has not been able to balance its books. The balance of the books are not satisfactory from the point of view of audit. And we have made a recommendation, two recommendations. One is that it is important that Parliament or the President creates or invites external independent parties to look more deeply into the accounts of the bank. Our mandate is specified by law. We are only to express an opinion. We do not have the power to trace beyond expressing an opinion. And that is why I am strongly advising the government to institute a forensic diagnosis, a forensic audit of the management system and of the accounting system. And I'm also recommending that technical support be given to the bank. The bank is not alone in this. Many other government institutions do require human capacities and skills support, including the National Audit Office. The National Central Bank is the heart of the country. That is where the wealth is. And therefore, it should be our priority in terms of technical skills. And if we don't have them among us, we can procure them from the international community. That is what everybody does. Fortunately for human resources, they are procurable.
In your report, you said this is the worst audit opinion that possibly an auditor can give. Is that true?
Well, the point here is that the auditor surely is expected to express an opinion.
Yes, and this is the worst opinion.
And if you don't express an opinion, it means that you don't have enough information to say this thing exists or this thing does not exist. If I had enough information, one could issue an adverse opinion, as I did indeed for the government of South Sudan accounts of 2007, 2008, 2006, and 2005, that in my opinion, these accounts don't show a true and fair view. In this case, I'm not even able to say that.
Now, in page 3 and 4 of your report, it cites errors in the trial balance. How do such errors affect the activities of the central bank?
Errors in the trial balance or inaccuracies in the trial balance mm-hmm. are not the point here. The point is that there is supposed to be zero balance in the trial balance. These are technical issues. Debits and credits are supposed to balance out. This is double entry bookkeeping. We were supposed to have no figures in that account at all. Because those balances there means that we don't know whom we owe and we don't know who owes us mm-hmm. as a bank. In other words, we have met transmissions or we have transmissions to a destination we have forgotten. We have made transmissions to a destination we don't have evidence on to where. Or we have received value of assets or monies from a source we have forgotten.
So now, surely you blame the breaking out from Khartoum that there was no system in place for the bank to be able to control or look at all these, you know, trials and financial irregularities. But surely there should have been something that the government or the central bank could have done to ensure that this kind of money can be accounted for.
We all expect that. And I'm saying it didn't happen.
And can you say why it didn't happen? Could it be corruption? Could it be some people working in the bank transferring it to their own accounts? How possibly can it be?
I don't have sufficient information to say that. That is why my report is a disclaimer.
The rest of the government institutions, you did, before we come, we shall come back to this bank. But before we come back to the government institutions, this is just the report that came out and it is the worst opinion that an auditor can possibly give. But now, in the other institutions of the government, are we seeing the same things as well?
I have not issued a disclaimer on the other institutions of government so far. The reports that I have signed so far have been adverse. Mm-hmm. I have been able to say that these accounts given to me do not show a true and fair view.
Mm-hmm. Now, with this report, as the report came out, some opposition leaders were actually calling for the head of the central bank to be investigated or to be sacked in the office. One of the veteran journalists, Alfred Taban, wrote in his Daily Monitor in the editorial column as well that the central bank, the governor should be sacked. And all these calls are coming in right after the release of this report. Do you think this is something that can possibly should be done?
I didn't say that in my report, did I?
You didn't, and what I'm asking you,
do
you
go
to your Alfred, own opinion
go to now. Alfred and to Mr. Agnotti. Yeah. Alfred is a journalist. He is entitled to his opinion. Mr. Agnotti is a politician. He's entitled to his opinion. If I were you, I would go to them. I am an auditor. I do not make prescriptions for the president. But I have made my prescriptions that we need to look deeper into this thing.
You did mention at the beginning of this interview when you were telling us about the role of this office that oversees all the financial, how the country's finance is being used. Tell us, how important are these reports of yours if you cannot even give a recommendation on what should be done when it comes to the institution that are mishandling?
Well, yes, indeed, I do give recommendations. My reports go to Parliament. Parliament studies those recommendations through the Public Accounts Committee, and they make a report on the report. Now, there are usually three kinds of recommendations that I give. We can give a recommendation that administrative measures be taken in such and such a department which has mismanaged funds. We can recommend that such and such an individual in a particular department be made to refund the losses that have been incurred to compensate the government, for example. We can also recommend that such and such individuals be persecuted. Now, the institutions of government that do those things are beyond me.
Okay, but you can recommend.
I recommend, and I have done it many
great
times.
Now, that's
now,
why I was asking
the executive
you.
Wing of government and the other arms of government that are supposed to do prosecution, for example.
Yes.
Are not under my control. They are under control of other wings of government. You know, the issue of governance is like running a relay game. You run your lap, and you hand the baton
over
to the next person. And that next person should run hard around the field and hand to the third. If any one of those people, number three, number four, number five, don't run, or they throw the button down, or they themselves collapse, the whole team fails. So governance fails if we do not all take from each other and do our part.
Absolutely.
You cannot have one department functioning, giving recommendations to the other departments, and the other departments don't do their part.
Yes, absolutely, I agree with you when you relate it that way to the relay.
Yeah.
Now, your part, you've done it, you presented it to Parliament.
Yeah.
I did not hear your recommendation when it comes to what you just said, especially on the central bank. Because, I mean, we all agree here there's a lot of money, irregularities.
Let me go back again.
Huge money here.
If
that,
I know.
That we don't know where it has gone.
If I knew that a certain figure that is shown in the accounts as being in a particular bank abroad, and I write to that bank, and that bank tells me, no, we don't have that figure, then I would have a basis for saying that this is not true and these people should be taken to task. But I have not received those confirmations.
Yes, but
so you tell
report,
me,
I was
the bank says 10 million is in such and such a place. I ask that person keeps quiet. I say, bank, please go and bring a statement. It is not done. So it is not right for me to say that it is not there. And I cannot say it is there either.
That has made your job extremely difficult. I can only imagine because you know there's money missing and they say this money is in this bank. You cited example of Equity Bank in Nairobi. And then this bank, you wrote to them and they don't write back to confirm or to deny this money is there. That must be very hard for you.
Extremely hard and very frustrating. But I'm not allowed by auditing standards to jump into a conclusion on matters which I cannot confirm because it could lead into something different. And those people who are in the area of law enforcement who have a mandate to go beyond what I have said, it shouldn't be very difficult for them to interpret what I'm trying to say. I'm giving a pointer to the people in charge of law enforcement to use their power to find out what the Auditor General is unable to do.
Let's just look on an overall. According to you as Auditor General, what must be done to ensure transparency and accountability in all government institutions? What do you think should really be done?
First of all, we have to take a decision as a people of this country, all of us, that the resources of this country should be used for the benefit of the public of this country in general. And that is a decision that exists in the law, but I do not know if it exists in our spirits. We have to take a decision against impunity. When we discover something bad, there should be no stone too heavy to be turned by the law enforcement institutions, including the courts and the prisons and the police and the national intelligence, national security. Our citizens spend a lot of money on those institutions. Now, have those institutions delivered to the people? How many people have been prosecuted? How many people have been imprisoned? Is it because we are all very clean? Is it because nothing wrong is going on? These are questions which people should search their souls, whether they are in parliament or they are in the executive wing of government. How come our prisons are empty when it comes to the issues of corrupt activities in this country? I would be very happy if the reason turns out that it is because there is no corrupt person. And I'm sure no citizen will believe that.
Of course, and you cannot say that as well because...
I can't say that either.
Yes. Now, in this, finally, just before we conclude this interview, the central bank report that you have made, you have presented in Parliament, are you worried that it might not be taken from there by the relevant, you know, authorities, those who are supposed to make follow-ups? Are you worried that
whatsoever? I'm not worried. I know that the Public Accounts Committee will look into the report, and I know that it will be taken back to the plenary session of Parliament, and I'm confident that the plenary session of Parliament will endorse my recommendations. Now, what happens after that is where my worry is, if I'm to have any worry at all. I have put a lot of emphasis on the need of looking into the system. But I have also mentioned that the governor has told me that he is doing everything possible to have those accounts reconciled before the next audit. I am compelled by my human spirit to accept that as a sincere effort. Until next audit, then we shall see. Because this was the first audit. There was this breaking of the connection with the central bank in Khartoum, and there was this lack of checks until 2014. Every human being deserves the benefit of the doubt. I am hoping that the governor's assurances will come into fruition, and then next time we shall have a better report. But meanwhile, let us examine our management system in the bank. Let us procure experts to help us reconcile those accounts. If we don't do that, then I'm a very worried person indeed. I mean, you are an auditor general, you recommend good things like those, and somebody decides not to do it, that doesn't augur well. It sends a yellow card.
You sound a little sympathetic with the central bank because of the former system and the rest, and you sound like you really understand keeping the promise to seeing what happens in the next audit. But clearly, this is a very huge amount of money here from your report that is not being accounted for. The worry is there that it might not be accounted for.
That is why I'm advising you, my young brother, to go beyond this office and ask those other runners in this relay team, what are they going to do? Are they going to run? Are they going to sit down? And how seriously are they going to run? Do they want us as a team to win? Are they going to play their role? And I think I would be very happy to hear their responses to you.
Have you identified any other government institution that have been doing maybe so well when it comes to the auditing of its account, and you think they're doing well so far that people need to know?
I wish I could really. I'm looking forward to that day when I can tell the people of South Sudan and the parliament that, in my opinion, the accounts of such and such department show a true and fair view. So far, I have not been lucky. I haven't stumbled on any department that has given me anything satisfactory that I can tell the people of this country with a smile on my face.
Great. I believe you put a lot of efforts in, you know, going through all this report and putting this, finding out all this. And then you come with a report and go through the process all. If at the end of it all, nothing is being done, do you think your efforts have been wasted?
Yes and no. They are wasted in the sense that impunity is allowed to continue. But they are not wasted in the sense that I have taken the rope off my neck. I have done my part. My conscience is clear. I have told the people of this country who employ me the truth that I know. It is not wasted in the sense that we have set a precedent and we are building an institution which, if the current generation doesn't want to use, the next generation may want to use. We have historical records about how this government and this country started off after independence in terms of financial management. The record is there for the next generation to see, for students to study tomorrow, and to give them at least information about what not to do if you want to build a nation.
If you have to compare South Sudan with, let's say, the rest of the neighboring countries when it comes to financial management, ours must be really terrible, isn't it?
Yes, there is no auditor general I have not met and happy auditor general in the region. We had 10 days together in Cape Town last week, all of us, and the theme is the same. The issues of mismanagement of financial resources in this country, issues of the lack of independence of the National Audit Office, the issues of impunity, nothing being done, matters being shelved. There's something common running along, but certainly most of these countries are better than us. The Audit Office of South Africa was established in 1910. The one of Uganda was established in the 1920s by those of Heskett Bell. The one of Kenya is a very old one too. You are talking about the 1990s. And so they have a better muscle, they have a better coverage, they have a better control system. Mm-hmm. So their adverse reports are a result of a strong system of audit. Ours is a result of our lack of desire to do the right thing, really, mm-hmm. quite frankly. And South Sudan today, whether it comes to government managers or audit managers, we are better than these countries when they started. But auditors are very skeptical people. The day when a clean report will be issued is not very near. But we can do that in terms of specific institutions. For example, we have some institutions whose reports come independently, like, say, the University of Juba, for example, or the University of Bahar al-Ghazal, or the Water Corporation, or the Electricity Corporation. We are now going into those ones, and I'm hopeful that there will be some bright spots here and there. Not everybody in this country is rotten, dirt, corrupt. I have come across serious officers in government or in some particular institutions. I don't want to mention them. I wish I could. Mm-hmm. But there are some bright spots. But then, as they say, gold glitters even in mud. But then there is this relay thing I'm talking mm-hmm. about.
That other sectors also need to play.
Yeah.
Just finally, you did mention about the independence of the Office of the Auditors in the other countries. Let's say about in South Sudan here. How independent is your office?
The constitution says the National Audit Office should be independent. Independent of what? Independent of the executive wing of government. That is basically what it is, because mm-hmm. you are overseeing the financial management of the executive wing of government and the legislature and the judiciary. You should be independent of all those wings of government in the performance of your work. But you have to report to somebody, the head of state and the parliament. The independence here refers to several things. One, the independence in terms of your decisions of scope of audit. That independence we do have. So far, nobody has held me.
Nobody has told you not to release this report.
Yes, every rule is one little exception, but nobody so far has interfered with my decisions and whether to audit and to what extent and how deep and how wide and how broad and my selection. That is very important. That is operational independence. I have that operational independence. But I do not have financial independence.
And
this is the main issue that me and many other auditors general in the region suffer from, where your finances are being held by the very people you are auditing, the Ministry of Finance officials. obvious, the result is obvious. You wouldn't get the resources that you need, even if Parliament appropriates. That independence is lacking. The second independence that is lacking, and we are struggling to see whether we can make amends, is in terms of human resources development. If the auditors are the officials of the public minister of public service, then forget it. They are not independent anymore. If their promotion and their emoluments and their day-to-day administration, where they want to go and live and so on, depends on the minister of public service, then independence goes out of the window. So independence in terms of human resources, worse. You cannot be independent and create your own everything, but you should be independent and do your recruitment and promotions and demotions within the ambit of general public guidelines, public service guidelines. But if they're going to decide who is to be the driver here and who is going to be the assistant auditor and who is going to move from assistant to senior auditor, it's all lost. We are working on that. We have a Constitution Review Commission working. We have a Law Review Commission working. We have made our submissions. We hope that these commissions will correct that error. We are working within that problem. But again, sometimes we are told that, no, we like you guys. But you see, the problem is we're having austerity and stuff like that. But then you see other departments are not having austerities and so on and so on. So it's a muddy, chaotic situation.
Describe for us about the government willingness to actually, you say the willingness of the government or a political will in empowering this particular office, the audit chamber. Do we have the political will?
If who is the government here? The Constitution is there, and the National Audit Chamber Act is there, and the Appropriations Act is there every year. But when it comes to translating those constitutional provisions and those acts, you do not see the enthusiasm of the officials concerned in terms of empowering oversight institutions like the National Audit Chamber. As I said, it is just there in the human spirit. I have discussed this with the officials of the Ministry of Finance. I have told them that I know why you are not giving me money, because it is not in your interest to give me money. Because if you give me money and I train very strong auditors, you know the consequences of that. But I like to think that this is not the case. It's just that I'm just saying it, but I like to think this is the case, because if that were the case, then God forbid, the country would just be in tatters. And so it is a debatable. It is a debate out there. People can make up their minds, especially those of you in the public media sector. Perhaps you could assist us and see if you can unravel that mystery.
With all these challenges that has been going on, all that you mentioned, all the lack of willingness of other sectors to be doing their own things, you in the rally, you started, you ran, you pass it to someone else, maybe somebody goes and sit down and don't want to complete this rally. In all this, every morning as you wake up and come to this office, what's going through your mind? Am I coming to serve the nation and doing the right thing?
There is something called a coping mechanism. I have taken an oath before the president of this country that I swear to do this. I never break my oath. I have been given a tenor, 5 years, to do a job, and I've sworn to do it. I've consulted with John Mwanga of Uganda, I have consulted with Edith Ouko of Kenya, I have consulted with the Auditor General of Tanzania and others. We all get onto this kind of pressures, and we have taken the decision that since we are the ones who decided in the first place to train as auditors, we are not going to chicken out. We are going to run the course. And for those who choose not to run the course, it is a matter between them and their God.
Auditor General, thank you so much for giving us this opportunity. You have any final remarks that you would like to put across?
My final remark is God bless South Sudan.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your time. We really do appreciate it.
Most welcome. Welcome. Oh,